to the Lord of Lords. We give you praise. We give you praise. Oh, hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. 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 We give you praise. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. This melody, sing hallelujah. 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 We give you praise forevermore. Just the congregation, raise your hand and sing. You are the great. The great I am. We give you the praise forever. I am Baratayana. We great as we sing, we give you praise. You are the great I am. We give you praise. I like the sound of that. I am Baratayana. Raise your hands and sing. Yes, you are the great I am. The great I am. You are the great I am. We give you praise. I want to personalize it now. You are the great I am. And the great I am. I give you praise. I give you praise. If God has met all your expectations thus far, sing, you are the great I am. The great I am. Aya Barana, I give you praise. Everybody, we're gonna sing hallelujah to his name. Raise your voice, sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I give you praise. Aya Nana, Aya Barana, Aya Barana. For everything you have done, I give you praise. I give you praise. Ah, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I give you praise. I am honored. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. I give you praise.
I give you praise forever.
Father, we love you this evening. Thank you for your power that is always available. Thank you for the mighty flow of your spirit. Thank you for blessing you've been throughout these 25 days. We're grateful to you, for we know that we are even up for some more things. Much more supernatural encounters, much more revelation, much more utterance, much more answers, much more resource. Thank you, because we know we are about to have the time of our lives, even much more from now on. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. I say glory to God, though. Hallelujah. Let's have a seat. Okay. Good evening, everyone. How are we doing? It's day 25. Our God is so, so faithful. Amen. One of the biggest testimonies is that this meeting is holding. As many of you didn't think it was possible. Amen. But our God is good. Glory to God. How was yesterday? Are we blessed? You know, if you didn't come yesterday, well, you can get the tape. And the tape should be available. They should make the tape available, the full tape. Amen. So that maybe it can bless you. I don't know what they're going to do, what you do with that, but then maybe if you can put it and pray along with it, it will help. But we had such an amazing time yesterday. So let's do something today. From Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's going to be a very special meeting. Amen. So by tomorrow, a special handbill is going to be out for it. For Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because we are winding down already. Amen. It will be School of Ministry. Do you understand? I don't think I'm about to do another family deliverance. It's going to be School of Ministry. So it's going to be an awesome time from Friday. Are you expectant? So let's see what we can do between today and tomorrow. So we've been looking at the house of God, Oikos, the house of God. And we've gone from proving that the believer is the house of God to also show that the church is God's house, like literally. So we've looked at the church as, or the house of God as the body of Christ. We've looked at the church as, what else? The pillar and crown of the truth. We looked at the church as, come again, the family of God. Amen. And we've touched a number of things. There is one that we might not touch in this series. That's why I told you I can extend this by another 10 days and we'll be fine. We've looked at the church also as an army. The army of God. Amen. And we can also, I won't do that today. We can also look at the church, for instance, as the bride of Christ. That's a whole new, if I open up that one, that can take us 4 days. Amen. Because the church is the bride of Christ. Amen. By the time you get a revelation of the church as the bride of Christ, you will now know why Jesus is jealously attached to his church. Do you understand? That's why he's jealous, because this is God's bride. Apart from all of that, but we won't get into that. Amen. Now, so let's see, because I'm trying to wind down, so I'm just going to leave out all of that in my notes. Let's touch something important today. The church is the house of prayer. Let's look at that. So, this oikos, this house of God, is also a house of prayer. And this is so important that we address it and that you understand it. So let me open your Bible, Isaiah 56 and verse 7. We're going to have an amazing time this evening. Glory to God. Isaiah 56, I'll wait for you to get it, and verse 7. Do you have a Bible? Okay. Verse 7. Are you there now? Now, he said, even them, okay, let me start from verse 6. And the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. So the dream of God, he said in verse 6 that even strangers, sons of strangers, in other words, Gentiles, everybody's going to gather into his house. Say, and his house will be called the house of prayer. And important, he said, it will be a house of prayer for all nations. So the plan of God is that God's house, which is his church, shall be called a house of prayer. It will be a place known and notable for prayers. known and notable for prayers. Jesus talked about this in Mark 11 and verse 17. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 17. Amen. And he taught saying, because you know the background of this is, he came into the temple and they were selling, they were buying, they were selling. And then he pursued them out of the temple. Amen. And he taught them saying, is it not written, my house shall be called shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. He said, but you have made it the den of thieves. In other words, if the house doesn't become a house of prayer, it will definitely become a den of thieves. And it's a lot. What it simply means is that if prayer is not predominantly going on in a church, you are going to give room for a lot of corruption. A lot of corruption. Any build, any house of God, any church that is not giving to prayer, there will be a lot of room for corruption. There will be room for a lot of things. That's why I told you guys one of those days, prayer will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from prayer. Prayer will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from prayer. So he told them, instead of making it as a house of prayer, you've made it a den of thieves. Because if we're not praying here, it will give room for a lot of crazy things to begin to happen in that place. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 46. Luke 19, same story. From verse 45, said he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it the den of thieves. So yes, we are the house of God. As individuals, we should be people of prayer. But much more, it's good to see that God's house, the church, is a house of prayer. That is why one of the things that must go on in church beyond ahead of many other things is prayer. So any church, for instance, that organizes drama more than they pray is trying to turn God's house to a den of thieves. Because where there is not enough prayer going on in the house of God, trust me, that place becomes an open place for the devil to play. I get what I'm saying? That's why prayer can never be too much in the church. In fact, the two most predominant things that must happen in the church is the word of God and prayer. That was why, if you read the book of Acts chapter 6, when the time came for the apostles to choose either between sharing food or praying, they chose the word of God and prayer ahead of distribution of food. So I said it again, they delegated sharing of food, but they didn't delegate preaching and prayer. That's why in church, there are things a pastor should not delegate often. One is the word, and another is prayer. I get the point. And even if any of these things should ever be delegated, the pastor must never exempt himself from it. In other words, I cannot say we are praying tomorrow. Of course, I can't lead all the prayers. You have to lead some of the prayers. Some of the ministers will lead prayers. But I must also be praying. Because this is meant to be a house of prayer. We gather to learn God's word. We gather to pray. The two things Jesus did with his disciples when he rose from the dead was that he spent 40 days teaching them. And when he was done, he told them to go to Jerusalem. And they went there to pray. He said, tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued from on high. So he sent them to go and pray in Jerusalem. So I've calculated that for us. They were there for 10 days. So they spent 10 days praying in Jerusalem. So before the day of Pentecost came, they were practicing the word of God and prayer. And that was why after the day of Pentecost came, they continued in that pattern. They kept praying. At every time they were met to position, they would gather to pray. So every time we gather and we are not teaching the word and we are not praying and we miss consistently not doing any of those things, you can't confidently call that place the church. There are a few things I've told you that must be found in church. For instance, you've come to a place and there is no pastor there. It's not a church. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you come to a place where there is a pastor but he's not teaching the word and they're not praying, they are dancing and gallivanting, it's not a church. Because I've told you, for instance, the presence of a doctor makes a place a hospital, right? But then the doctor must be treating people for the place we call the hospital. If the doctor comes to a place where where we call hospital. And every morning he comes and he's dancing for the people, doing ballet dance for the people in the place. Hallelujah. Now, the fact that he's a doctor, a dancing doctor, doesn't make that place a hospital. He must be treating people. So any place they say, oh, this is a church, because there's a pastor here, but the word is not being taught, prayers are not being prayed. I'm not saying we don't mention it, because I said it again, the church is not a place where the word of God is mentioned, or where prayer is done once in a while. The church is a house of prayer. You know what I'm talking about? It's not like we spend 4 hours and we just pray for like 3 minutes. It's a house of prayer. That's why you come into this church, we pray to start. As we are worshiping, we are praying. After that, we pray intercessory prayer again. After that, if I preach sometimes, we pray. After I preach, we pray. Now, as you're going back, we pray. There are days we set out for prayers. Because the church should be called a house of prayer. Let me say something that will going to help you to be a good member of a church. Understand that the church does not exist to meet, to fulfill your agenda. Because I know there's something you say, there's something you have in mind as to how the church should be. Why is the church doing this? Why is the church doing that? We follow what the word of God says, not what your mind is thinking we should do. God's word said we should pray. And I've heard of some churches where they say, you know, when we meet in church, we should tone down, we should reduce prayer time. Because there are unbelievers that come around and they may not know how we are praying, they may not understand how we are praying, and they cannot follow, and then they go. Well, if an unbeliever comes around, if you are new here, you are welcome. You don't understand how we pray. That's why you are here, to learn. So you learn how we pray and begin to pray how we pray. We're not going to change how we pray because you don't like how we pray. You know what I'm saying? When you come here, you see how we pray, then you learn how we pray, and you begin to pray. We are not supposed to reduce our prayer time to make you comfortable. You know what I'm saying? This is God's house, it's house of prayer. If it doesn't become a house of prayer, it becomes a den of thieves, a den of robbers. Are we still here? Very important. What this means, I'll tell you a few things. What this means, for instance, is that believers, first of all, must be taught in church to pray individually. That's why one of the jobs I have is to teach you to pray individually. To pray as a person. Luke 18 verse 1. Jesus told them, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So believers has to be taught to pray. That's why any church that is not teaching you to pray is not doing you well. And that's why I have a problem with systems where people are not taught to pray. They are taught to... I was saying something. And people thought maybe I had an issue with the Catholic Church. I don't have an issue with the Catholic Church. Okay? But I'm going to tell you the truth. If any system tells you that if you actually want to eat, that or you want to do something, want to travel, there's no point praying. Just do like this and then you are fine. That is not prayer. You must be taught to open your mouth and pray. I get what I'm saying. You must be taught. Somebody said, but that means in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost. Let me even assume you are correct. So if you come out and shout, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, is that a prayer? Have you made any requests? Have you said anything? You just announce something to now start praying. So even if that sign means Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that is still not prayer. You still have to open your mouth and pray. And I'm saying this because believers must be taught to pray. And let me say this to you. We must be taught to pray. If you're going to have prayer manual, it's okay. Prayer manual should be a guide, something that gives us prayer points to pray and not something to replace prayer. You know what I'm saying? Father, I thank you because you are our God. Father, I thank you because you are our God. Father, you say it 3 times. Then the next one is every demon that is fighting me. You should be taught to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So I like saying this jokingly. One sign that you're a man is that you can pray. He didn't say women ought always to pray. That's a joke, sure. But one sign that you're a man is that you can pray. Men ought always to pray. So believers must be taught to pray because this is the house of prayer. You can't be coming to the house of prayer and then you do not pray. That's why you are doing yourself a great disservice when we come here and we are praying and you are sitting around watching. No. If you're praying, you pray with us. Because this is the house of prayer. So one of the major agenda of the church is to teach believers how to pray. That's why, have you observed, there is no yay that I will not do at least one series on prayer. Have you observed that? No yay. And there is no yay I will not call at least 20 or 30 prayer events at different times. Amen. Different times. Different times. Now, at least this year alone, every first Saturday we are praying for 4 hours. Amen. We are praying 6 a.m. in your house. We are praying together. We are praying 9 p.m. in your house. We must be able to teach you to pray. If we don't do that, we are failing in our duty as the church. So when you say, my challenge is actually that they pray too much, that's actually the good thing about the church, not your challenge. It shouldn't be a challenge. It should have been a challenge if they don't pray at all. So I don't know where you are coming from before you came here. If you are here, you must sharpen your tongue because we will pray. Say amen. We will pray. So this is a house of prayer. So first of all, I said believers must be taught on the need to pray, to have a personal prayer life. Personal prayer life. This also means, because this is the house of prayer, it also means that the church must be taught to pray corporately. Corporately. I'm going to tell you something. If we don't begin to pray corporate prayers, it will hinder a lot of things. There are many things corporate prayers can do for you. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 28, they threatened the apostles and told them not to preach again. The Bible said they returned to their own company. And when they went there, they prayed. They prayed so much that the place where they were was shaken. That's the power of corporate prayers. That's why one of the things you should not miss when you are in any church is corporate praying. Don't miss it. Like we are gathering to pray together. Don't miss it. I know you can pray individually, but this is the house of prayer. When we are meeting to pray, don't miss it. Don't be the kind of Christian who selects the meeting to attend. Now, hear what I said. I'm not saying you should not miss meetings where we are coming to pray for you. I say meetings where we are coming to pray together. Because some people prefer when you are praying for them. Be healed. Amen. Receive. Amen. I mean, you should also enjoy meetings where we gather and we are asking you to pray. But they gathered in Acts chapter 4 and they gathered to pray. What happened? They were threatened. Amen. And you see what I was talking about, the church as being family. Who was threatened to stop preaching? Just Peter and John. Who gathered to pray? Their company. Their company. So we could say they returned back to their cell. Or they came to tell their departments in church. You know what I'm talking about? And they gathered to pray. And everybody joined that prayer. So when there are issues in church, even people's personal issues, the church can gather and hold their hands to pray. Because this, again, is the house of prayer. Are you here? That's why pastors must organize plenty prayer events for the church. Many prayer events. For instance, you can't be coming for our meeting. We are planning Zoe now. You can't be coming for Zoe and not expect that you will pray extensively. Do you understand? You should love it. You come for our 31st night service here. Glory to God. You know, one part you should look forward to in that meeting every year is that, you know, that prayer session. Happy New Year. Everybody's done shouting. Now, if you're here for the first time, you think they will soon stop the prayer. The least that prayer can be is 2 hours. The least. Say amen. Sometimes you can go from there, 12:30 like that, run it till sometimes around 4 or so. Say, why are you guys doing all that to us? This is the house of prayer. Where do you think we're coming to? Because I think the problem is people don't know what church is. So they complain when we do the right thing. Do you understand? You can't go to a restaurant and say that there's too much food here. You are coming to a restaurant, there should be plenty food. You can't come to church and say that there's too much prayer. Where are you coming to? You are coming to the house of prayer. Prayer should be too much in church, and it can never be actually. Where there is a problem is, can you imagine I went to that restaurant and they don't have food? That's where there is a problem.
You saw what God I'm talking about.
They don't have food. I traveled all the way. What's your favorite restaurant in anywhere here?
Your favorite restaurant? Huh?
Okay.
Your own doesn't have name. Where is that place you guys used to go to? Where is that place we used to go to? Does it have a signpost like?
Now you can imagine you drive all the way down to such a place and then there's no food.
That's where that will be a problem.
But if you come there and there is food, there's no problem.
They're doing well.
When you come and there's too much prayer, we are doing very well. So don't get, and this, let me tell you why, before I became a pastor, this is actually how I talk. If I'm trying to invite you to church, and I invite you to church, and you come, and you're complaining, you can never complain about our church for doing something good to me, and I'll keep quiet.
See, that church, I'm going to do the prayer.
I say, yes, actually. Don't try to be apologetic. Don't try to say, no, it's not like we pray, it's just that today, so, we pray. And the promise I'm making you is that if you come, you will learn how to pray. And when you learn how to pray, your situations will change. That's what you have to offer people. So, but don't just say, no. It's just that you came on the day we are praying too much. Normally, pastor doesn't pray like that. We pray like that. That's the normal thing. You get the point? Because how else will people's life change? Do you know what prayer is? Do you know what prayer is? Do you know the privilege it is to commune with God? You cannot get into prayer and come out the same. It is not, no matter what you are praying about, the privilege of sitting with the king and talking with the king, it leaves nobody the same. So you should be excited that we can pray. I get what I'm saying. So the church must be taught to pray in groups. Like, I think I was teaching the other time on different layers of prayers that must go into. Do you remember that? Different layers of prayer. There are different layers of prayer. One, for instance, the church must, believers must pray individually. Then the church must pray together. Leadership of the church must have their own corporate prayer time. You understand? There are things that may want to go wrong in this church, you know, and I will just call the ministers. I told you guys, for instance, when we had a venue challenge about 2 years ago or so, who did we use? The church didn't know about it, but I put the ministers on the prayer stuff for how many months? Huh? About 2 months, yes. And they were praying every day for the whole 2 months. So there must be those layers of prayer that must go on. You say, ah, sir, you are stressing people. Why are we praying like that? When we made you a leader in church, what do you think this is? Think this is a football club. Any leader that cannot pray is not fit to be a leader. I'm coming to, I told you from Friday to Sunday, it's going to be a special school of ministry. Still on this topic, don't worry. Any leader that cannot pray is not fit to be a minister. One of the major qualifications that you can be a minister in God's eyes is that you can pray. I get to the point. Because what else is ministry? What else is ministry if not prayer? Ministry can be multidimensional. For instance, every minister that is a ministry you have towards God. What that means is, you know, there is something you do towards God. There is something you do towards believers. There is something you do towards unbelievers. That's how ministry is. Towards God, what you owe God, what you do towards God is prayer. Your ministry towards God is prayer. Now, it is that ministry you have with God that now affects everything you do with man. So you pray. And to the unbeliever, you owe him ministry of reconciliation. To the believer, we say you now serve the saints. You know what I'm saying? So every minister is first of all someone who prays to God, ministers to unbelievers, serves the saints in whatever capacity. That's what ministry is. So if you are not actually ready to pray, you're not ready to be a leader. That's why we say things in this church that people think we're overdoing. You can't be a leader, you can't be a worker here, singing in the choir, doing media, whatever, and we call for prayers and you don't come. Maybe the workers are not actually aware, but let me remind you guys again, in case you forgot. Every worker in this church currently is on probation. And by January, I'm going to do another reshuffling and remove some people. And one of the major things that will stand out is how you've been joining our prayer meetings. If you don't join two things, prayer, outreach meetings, you're not joining, you can't even remove you. And that's not being mean, that is being serious. Because if you cannot pray, what do you want to walk? Who do you want to usher? Keep all this. If you cannot pray, what do you want to play? Do you understand? If you can't pray, then don't play. Do you understand? Until you can pray, then you can play. And the drummer too. And bassist. Amen. Make sure you can pray. Because that's what, you know, have you gone to some of these churches where instrumentalists don't participate in service? That's one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life. Very, very disgusting. Like, they don't come to church. The offering time, they walk in. Pray I'm not your pastor. I can't even be your pastor. You can't do it. They'll walk in, and sometimes, after offering, they go. I was in a church sometime, you know, recently. Just sitting, I was informed that I could get the view of what was happening. And the guys, I think it was last year or so, the instrumentalists, you know, the way the church was built, they were somewhere behind, and message was going on. They were gisting. They were even eating. I am not joking. And I just stood there, I was with you that day. They were eating. Behind, as an instrument, they were eating. Joking. And immediately, my minister raises a song, they will come and carry instruments. Go and ask about the sons of Aaron, how they died. Go and ask. That's because you've not seen how they died. That's why you're coming up. No. So they're not learning the word. They're just coming to play. To start with, apart from the fact that it may hinder the move of God in the service, that's not my first problem. The church is doing something bad to those people. Is that they're not being good to them. The church is being wicked. That's why I say it to those people. A pastor that allows you to do anything you want but come and serve in church is being wicked to you. To start with, and I don't like going to spiritual, but listen, to start with, when you begin to serve in church, stand here, play, it exposes you to satanic things that don't know that you exist before. Demons that don't know that they exist, they will know that they exist now. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, there is demonic attack on the church at all times. Just like you want to be a pastor, you go and carry mic to pastor, and you are not fit for it. You won't pray. It just exposes you. You get the point? Just like, again, I talk to musicians. You are jumping from stage to stage. Sometimes they invite you to very big stages that you stand before 20,000, 10,000 people to sing and to minister. You might not return the same, oh. That's why you notice some people, after singing those places, they come back with some strange spirit of immorality. Because they are exposed to something that they were not trained to do. Because the devil will attack ministry and ministers. I was saying that 2 days ago, right? So there are some exposures that are too quick. So any church that allows you to carry mic and sing on her stage, but will not train you. Now, there's a standing attack on the church. He comes for the pastor. Pastor is fortified. He goes to the assistant pastor. Assistant pastor is fortified. He said, who is nice on that stage? But for all I'm joking with this, but actually, music ministry is a big deal. By the time we get to tomorrow, next, and as we're running up this meeting, I'll begin to show you the ministry of the Levites. Do you know that in the Old Testament, that's why I've said this weekend is going to be very powerful. In the Old Testament, before you even become a gate man in church, you must be a priest, a Levite. Must, as a gate man, opening that closing church. Levite, if you're not a Levite, you can't even be a gate man. I'll show you in church, I'll show you in the Bible. Before you're a gate man, before you can clean, you must be a Levite. So it's not, they don't do voluntary service. Are you what I'm talking about here? You must be a Levite to do those things. So imagine you don't have a prayer life, and then you want to be a, what is it again? Be a chorister. Some things that will happen to yourself you don't even understand. Amen. One of the things God corrected me about very recently in my work with him, ministry and all of that, is when they said, you make people leaders too quickly. And that's why they face battles they were never prepared to face. And that correction came like 2 years ago. That's why
we began to do a lot of instruction. He said, some people that are just coming to the Lord and they just want to love the Lord, and before you know, you make them this coordinator. And then before you know what is happening, they begin to face battles that nobody prepared them to face in their life. Are you what I'm talking about? That's why you must learn prayer. You must be taught to pray. Leaders must be taught to pray. Workers must be taught to pray. Believers must be taught to pray. You must be taught to spend time in prayer. I get the point. Do you know there are pastors, and I'm not saying this, there are pastors that cannot pray for 4 hours straight. If they do, they run out of strength. There are pastors that cannot stand and pray for 1 hour. They will get tired. I'm pointing out something, they say they went to Bible school. I said, what Bible school did you go to? I don't know if a Bible school in this nation, I don't know whether they're still doing that. Well, that time, every day in that Bible school, you are monitored to read your Bible at least 10 chapters every day and pray for, I think, 6 hours or so, daily, till you finish. But even if it's 2 years Bible school, for the whole 2 years, you'll be doing that every day. That's your routine. Now, imagine when somebody does that for 2 years and comes out to pastor, even the devil knows that he came. I get what I'm talking about. That's ministry training. Not Bible school you go to and you are copying from a neighbor's book during an exam. They are writing an exam, you are saying, read Bible school. I'm not joking. No, Bible school, they copy. Because, again, I say, when the church is not made a house of prayer, it becomes a den of thieves. So you must learn to pray individually. And we must learn to pray corporately. So you are doing yourself a disservice if we fix prayer meeting and you miss it. I feel what I'm saying. Say it's prayer meeting. You say, oh, how many hours? 4 hours. I'm not coming. You know, that's why in this church, anything I want to do, I don't deceive you. You know, I can deceive you into coming for prayer meeting. Just tell you, come, we are going to dance. Once you just come, I'll put prayer meeting. Be honest. But then I'll tell you plainly, we are coming for 4 hours or 8 hours prayer meeting. So that if you don't want to come, you can stay in your house. Do you know when I am making that kind of announcement, I look at your faces. I know some of you have never prayed for 25 minutes in your life. I know it. All I'm asking for is show up. Showing up is you are saying, I'm interested in know how to do. I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to come. Not coming is the problem. Show up and sleep. But at least you came. Are you what I'm saying? I've been teaching the word for 7 hours. Show up. I know you've never been able to sit under God's word for 7 hours. It's 7 hours. Sleep will carry, but just come. You find that the first 1 hour you will sleep. After like 5 minutes, you wake up. And I'm still preaching. The point is, if you sleep 3 times, I wake up and I promise I'll still be preaching. So somehow, your body will even get tired and now follow the message. So you must be taught to pray. Lord, I keep telling my story. First time I went to a meeting where they were praying in a very voracious manner. As if they didn't have love in them, as far as prayer was concerned. They don't send you. And I like that kind of place. We came there, said in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to pray to thank God. I can't forget the first word I said. First word I said was Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Elohim, we thank you. Because I said, Shada, we thank you. We are Father. Nothing is bigger than you. Lord, you know, I was with all my energy. But then, in 5 minutes, I ran out of, that kind of, run out of energy. And these guys were not even, you know, when people are rounding off prayer, you know they're rounding up. They are not looking like they're about to round up. In Darabashombrata, in Lekab. To thank God again, 45 minutes. Now, I slept. Okay, now I took a nap. I took a nap. I woke up. They were praying. Not that they were praying. They were praying that same prayer point. Thanking God for how he has been good to them. Is it that there's something God did for you he didn't do for me? Why are you so thanking God like that? But they were abusing thanking God. Now, after that, now, let us commit this meeting into the hand of God. It shouldn't be a difficult prayer point. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit this meeting into your hand. Come and take control. Speak to us in the language we'll understand. That's the simplest way you can pray. But they didn't see it like that. They were just praying. They were shadala. Do you know the truth is? I felt very intimidated. You know that things you cannot fake. You see that prayer, you can't fake it. You can only fake it for 10 minutes, you'll get tired. If you know, you can fake prayer for 10 minutes, you can't fake prayer for 6 hours. By the time you get to 25 minutes, even though you can't fake it. So when they did that, me, I knew I wasn't ready to fake nothing. I just sat down and said, God, whatever you did to these people, do it to me. It was a 3 days meeting. So I just, after that day, they preached and all of that. I came the next day. Came by the third day, me, I was even picking up. I get the point. Yeah, I was picking up. Amen. And gradually God is helping us. He has to. We could now do, I could now go fix my own retreat. I can't count how many times I've done 3 days prayer retreats. Shut down everything and just pray throughout. Sleep in the night, sleep from 2 to 6. Wake up in the morning, pray again like that. Do you understand? St. Cyprian's Chapel, my prayer is still in that chapel. If you go there by next, my prayer is still different parts of that chapel because I will sleep there 4 hours, wake up, pray through the whole night, pray through the day. Just like that. Because I said, won't you study your Bible? I didn't know what was I studying. I'll just read, and start praying again. Just pray like that. You must be taught to pray. You get the point? My dad used to share with us, my spiritual father, the man that trained him in that prayer thing. Because God had to bring a man, especially in his life, to train him in the area of prayer. Say, this man can pray. I know the man actually, Apostle Eric. The guy can pray. Then my dad used to drive him. So they drove from Lagos to Umuahia. And they prayed throughout. It's not under their breath. Shakarabatakabati, they go to Umuahia. You can imagine that the wife said, let's pray. Yeah, that's why he's very brutal. He doesn't have all this. He's not trained to pray like Okla, Hombre, Shandia. That's why you don't have problem. We have problem, you pray. So they will pray from Lagos to Umuahia. Going back again, driving back, yakabada, like that. You know, I said the man he's still like that. He invited my pastor to a meeting, you know, because he's now in, I think, Kenya or so. I wanted him to come and preach. Suddenly they got to the airport. He heard him and said, let us pray. He's from the airport. I'm not joking. Yakala problem. You know, that men are going to bring you to life that will train you some things. Don't get angry. From the airport, he said, I'm just coming. Let us pray. From there, shakaka baraba. They drove him into the hotel. Glory to God. You know, you must learn to pray. You must enjoy it. You must enjoy it. Prayer can never be too much. If anything, it is too small. Every day, I spend time praying. After I spend time praying, what I always get in my spirit is that I need to pray more. Does it happen to you? I ever finish praying and the Lord told you, it's okay, now don't pray again. After you're done praying, something always tells you, you need to pray more. Because it can never be okay. Glory to God. So I tell you, we'll pray more. Say amen. We'll pray more. Amen. What is going to happen on Monday is going to be prayer chain. That's actually what I wanted to say. Say amen. I'll give you the details. We are going to run a 24-hour non-broken prayer chain on Monday. Yes, I'm going to put all of us in different times for the day. Are you in? 24 hours non-broken. Say amen. I love prayer. And the thing is, if you don't do yours, I may not know. You know that's the problem. We may not know. But I wish you will. What I actually wanted to do is to say, when that time, because everybody will be in church, when is your time you'll be in church? And we will do it like that actually. But not for the 24 hours, for 12 hours, because we'll be here by 3 a.m. But then, in the day, when it's your time, you come here, you pray, some will come here and pray from 6 to 8. Some will come here, pray from 8 to 10. We'll do that for the whole day. Do you want that? You just come, don't worry, we'll put on gen throughout. That's why we buy fuel. That's why we give. We give so that there can be money to run fuel. I would run gentle the whole day. You just come out, put people to coordinate each of the prayers. Some pray from 6 to 8, some 8 to 10, 10 to 12, just like that. For the whole day. The other 12 hours, we do it at home. Do you understand? But the other 12 hours, we're going to be here. Because we are actually going to,
And I've told this to some of you. Because there are some patterns I saw in history and in the Bible. And I'm going to show you that as we'll be rounding up. There are people that have achieved that. I know a church that runs a 24 hours prayer ministry. They've been doing it for more than 30 something years. 24 hours. Even as I'm talking to people, are praying there now. Every time. If you see the miracles, if you see the things happening, you can walk into the church, cripple, and you start walking. If you walk, nobody will, because prayer used to stay. You can pray and stand the whole world with prayer. Stay the world with prayer. I love prayer. One of the major secrets to the growth of Pastor David Young Gijo's church, what I'm telling you, he set up a prayer mountain where prayer is going all the time, even as I'm talking to you now, they're praying there. That's one of the major secrets. You get the point? Because I told you guys, Shobha Edekpo said when they built their church, this their 50,000 seat church, say people were not like people are not coming, but they were not going, a church of 50,000, they were not going, what is that? Say they were 1/4. You still a crowd, so they were like 10,000 or so. But then church was just lie empty. He gathered his leaders and they did a prayer vigil for 2 years. What did I say? 2 years non-stop. Every day, every leader with him in church for 2 years. Explosion. Explosion. Are you going to say? You guys are ready, right? You know, in Igbo, no way I say, omota. So we might do omota or makaria now. We can just do 16 years. But Monday is going to be powerful, right? We'll have a prayer time. I'll have my own prayer time. Just pray. You come to your 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours, like that, like that, like that. Amen. Because it's necessary. You know, I've seen this thing change people. You know, I used to tell you guys a story. How a brother was involved in an accident. Remember that story? Involved in an accident in church. He was in coma. Head, brain, open. Chance of survival less than whatever percent you can think of. Very weak. He was in coma for long. The church set up a 24 hours prayer chain for him for over 2 months. Every day. He said after the first 21 days or so, he recovered from coma. Like he woke up, but they said, his memory is gone. No. They stayed back. I get what I'm saying. Now, some of us prefer the type where the pastor just comes and says, you'll be healed in Jesus' name. You foul devil out. Not everything is done like that. Do you understand? Some things you just have to stay. And that guy is alive today. Medical doctor. Doing well. He would have been long gone. Do you understand? It would have been long gone. So it's good you see that the plan of God is to make his house a prayer house. When we do this, one of the things I'd like you to see, give me Revelation 5 verse 8 on the screen. Give me on the screen. Revelation 5 verse 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Look at that. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them halves. And golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So our prayers actually ascending. Put up like an author of this verse. He says, each one had a harp and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. So the prayers of God's people are gathering in heaven as incense. I know what I'm talking about. So there are bowls that collect prayers. It's there as a sweet smelling incense. Give me Amplified Classic NLT translation. Let me see if they rendered it. NLT said, it's incense. It said, each was holding a harp, lute or guitar, and they had golden bowls full of incense, fragrant spices and gums for burning, which are the prayers of God's people, the saints. Give me a message. He said, each had a harp and each had a bowl filled with the incense. With incense, the prayers of God's people. So, same thing. Everywhere, if you go to heaven, prayers have been collected. I hope yours is there. Your own prayer. Amen. I hope your own prayer. Let me say this to you. I strongly believe that the reason Nigeria has not gone down is because people are praying. I strongly believe this, and I'm telling you with all my heart. I strongly believe it. And whether they agree to admit it or not, there is a reason why COVID did not ravage Nigeria the way it did other nations. Now, they can say whatever they want to say, but I know that God is working in this nation. God is working here. Amen. So we'll keep praying, and we must give ourselves. So that's why you yourself, give yourself personally to prayer. Have your prayer time. Participate in the prayer thing we are doing here. I showed you yesterday in that Matthew chapter 2, when Jesus got into the temple. Open Matthew chapter 2. Let me show you. Matthew, is that chapter 2? Hold on. Yes, chapter 21 rather. Verse 12. Jesus got into the temple and saw those guys selling. This is the same story we've read at the beginning, but I just want to read it again from Matthew's rendering. He said to them in verse 13, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." After he said that, what happened in verse 14? The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. He was about to show them the real use of the temple. When the house of God becomes a house of prayer, healings and spiritual happenings become easier. Becomes easier. That's why we have meetings like Zoe and all of these things. Before some of those meetings like Zoe, we normally spend a lot of time praying. I hope you are aware. We spend a lot of time praying. A lot of time. A lot of time. Like now we're praying for Zoe. And so when you come to those meetings and begin to show those healings, it is prayers that have gone forth that beg those kind of meetings. A man of God told us many years ago, I don't know whether I agree with his terms that he used, but I got the message he was trying to pass. He told us, you can do a meeting and you can do a meeting and you work with the anointing of the minister. That's what he told us. He told us, I can put up a crusade and I come there. He said, I'm anointed. I can raise my hand and the sick will be healed. I can pray and the anointing for healing will work. He said, but there are meetings that you come into. You know it is beyond the anointing of the minister working. You know it is the glory of God upon this place. He said that kind of meeting is not produced except with prayer. You get the point? For instance, you can go to a crusade somewhere. Maybe you just come into your school environment and you preach, people start getting healed. That can happen. But then there are some meetings that you come into and you can sense the mighty presence of God, the glory of God. You know, from opening prayer down, mighty things are happening. Those kind of meetings can only be produced with prayer. Consistent piled up prayers. So Jesus showed them how to become the house of prayer. And in the next verse, he began to heal their sick. He began to heal the sick. See, it makes us a house of prayer. I've taught you, and let me just go through that list again. There are prayers that must go on in the church. Certain kind of prayers that must go on in the church. I did this teaching when I was teaching on prayer clinic. But let me just refresh your mind on that. There are prayers that must go on in church. Number one is supplication. 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 You know, just to pray for your needs. And these needs include your spiritual needs and your physical needs. So the church must lead the people to pray for their spiritual needs. What are spiritual needs? For instance, prayer for revelation is a spiritual need. Just like Ephesians 1 verse 17 to 21 tells us that the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ shall give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. You can pray for might by the Spirit. You must be led. That's why every day in church, we need you to pray these prayers. So you must be led to pray for your spiritual needs. You must also be led to pray for your physical needs. Oh, if you need a job here, begin to pray for this. If you need a miracle here, if you need a healing. So we must lead believers to pray prayers of supplication. This should reflect your own prayer life too. So but as the church is leading you, you should also have that prayer time. So there should be supplication in all those prayers. Again, there should be intercession. Intercession. So when I mean the church should be a house of prayer, it's not just a place where you pray only one kind of prayer. Oh God, remember that is pushing me, fall and die. That's not a house of prayer. That's a house of selfishness where we're just busy praying for our personal needs. So, yes, there should be supplication where you pray for spiritual needs. I'm praying for my health. I'm praying for revelation. I'm praying for might by God's Spirit. I'm praying to flow better in spiritual things. Then there should be intercession where you are praying for others. Where you are praying for friends. Under that intercession, there should be prayer for sinners who are yet to be saved. Sinners. Praying that they will come to the knowledge of the truth. That God's hand will reach out to them and save them. That they will hear the gospel and their lives will be changed. Paul, talking about it in Romans chapter 10 verse 1, he said, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2, he said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That's Romans 10, 1 and 2. So you notice there is need for us to pray for saints and pray for sinners rather. So at every time in the church, we must lose our prayer drive. We must always have a time to pray for people that are not yet saved. It must go on in church at all times. You know what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm talking about here now? So you must pray to stand in the gap for people. You must pray for sinners. You must pray for the saints. Look around the church. There are saints that are in need. At every time, you must have time, you are praying for them. You're praying for them. One of the major victories you should have in your prayer life is that you are seeing people change by the result of your prayer. It's one of the major victories in prayer. And it's one of the victories I enjoy as a pastor. That I may see someone and pick up a person and say, let's begin to pray for this person. Within me. And I pray for that person for like 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 3 months, 6 months. And after some time, I begin to see some changes. It's one major victory you should record in prayer. If your only victories in prayer about things that has happened to you, that something is wrong. One major victory you must record in prayer is that, whoa, look at this guy has changed. That brother has changed. That sister has changed. I prayed for his job. I noticed that guy didn't have a job. He always comes to church and he's very broke. And I took it up in prayer and I told God, Father, let this one change. Let this one get a job. And then one day you see the person, he said, why did you come late for Thursday service? He said, I'm sorry. I was coming from work. You know the excitement that will bring to you. That's one major victory you must have in prayer. Now, if you don't record that kind of victory in prayer, because you've not yet learned how prayer works, what prayer is, you must love to pray. And there must be intercession in your prayer. This intercession also includes praying for people's spiritual needs too. Like this brother in church that has been on serious in church for some time. I say it all the time, that's not an object for gossip. Take him up in prayer. Because you know something about gossip is sometimes, and I'm saying this seriously now, you are gossiping and complaining about someone. You actually don't know them. You don't know their story. You don't know their history. You don't know their struggles. You don't know what they're doing to get better. You know what I'm saying? You meet someone, for instance, say that brother is always bitter. Always bitter. I'm not encouraging bitterness. But sometimes you don't know their story. You don't know the kind of family they're coming from. You don't know whether that person grew up as a maid in someone's house. I know what I'm talking about. After 15 years, the person was being abused back to back. I said, so let's beat and finding her face. You don't know their story. You don't know how much effort they have put into getting better. But it didn't work. You get the point? You find a guy, a lady that is sexually promiscuous. We are teaching the word, but girl is coming to us, but she's not responding to treatment. That's not an object for gossip. Take her up. If you are a mentor that can talk to her, fine. But if you cannot do anything from where you are, then start praying for her. Because again, you don't know their story. I get what I'm saying. You don't know their story. You don't know what made the person like that. And you don't even know the effort the person has put. I've spoken to some people that are socially promiscuous, and they tell you some of them have attempted suicide, sometimes 4 or 5 times, because they are not proud of the mistakes they are making. Real life story. I get what I'm saying. That's why everybody is an object for gossip. You don't know their struggles. Some have tried to take their lives. I get what I'm saying. So that why he's always doing smoking in their hemp. Undiga and agony. You may not actually know their story. You saw what I'm talking about here now. So should we clap for them? No. But those are not objects for discussion and castigation. Now, if where you stand, you are a little bit of a person, you can encourage the person, call the person and begin to talk to the person. But if it's somebody you cannot talk to, then talk to God about them. Listen about prayer. Prayer can go to where your legs cannot go to. Your prayers can travel to where prayer cannot carry you to.
Ah, come on, addict, they can go so fast. You can go so fast. So people is going to be discussed. Sarah one, he is even a leader. See what he's doing. You don't know the story. So don't, instead of discussing people, pray for them. Let the people that can talk to them, talk to them. You know, it's not everybody can talk to. Let people that can talk to them, talk to them. Don't discuss them. And I'm saying this as serious correction. Serious correction. I know what I'm saying. Serious correction. Because you don't know people's story. And I'm saying this again, that you don't actually know them. And I'm privileged as a pastor to listen to different people every day. And I can tell you that sometimes you are just judging people wrongly. You don't know why they're doing what they're doing. Now, that's not to make an excuse for anybody doing anything stupid. You should be working hard to change. I'm talking about people here that are working very hard to change, but then there are some resistance on their way. Everybody's not an object for conversation now, discussion. Look at that. Look at how he's dressed. Sometimes they're saying, look at how she's dressing. She does have another clothes. And literally, actually, she used to have all these short skirts, short gowns before she got born again. Now she's born again. She's done with those clothes in her mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? But she's not done with them in her body because there is no money to go and buy another one. Now you're not going to know. That's why I said if someone that can talk to them, is now the pastor or the ministers that can walk up and say, sister, why are you dressing this way? She will now say, you know, I don't have clothes. That kind of matter will come up now in our welfare conversations. And I'll say, okay, get this money, buy clothes for this girl. We've done it sometimes for people in this church. Amen. There was this brother, you know, that gave him that clothes, he stopped coming. I don't know why. No, he was coming, dressing well. But as I called, I said, ask him why. He said, we got that clothes, oh. Plenty clothes, gave him. He said, thank you. No, but I believe it's not gone. God will find it. Like last year, last 2 years, oh. But those things can happen. Say amen. So everybody should not be discussed. Everybody should not be, you know, don't discuss people. The energy you pour into discussing people should be poured into praying for them. If people are in trouble, pray for them. That's why it's not only about childbirth. We have a culture in this church. Anyone that is going through any serious crisis, and we get to know, be rest assured, whether I will tell you or not, there is a prayer chain praying for you. That's our work in this church. Now, whether except you don't know you're going through that stuff, once we know, we set up a prayer chain. And they will pray as long as. That's why sometimes in our meeting as leaders here, people's names come up. And that's not to gossip them. Say, sir, I noticed that this girl, I say, okay, you, start praying for her. You are going to pray until I tell you. Sometimes I even forget I told them to pray. It's now after like 3 months, they say, sir, we are still praying that prayer. And when I ask you to pray, it's not like I'm praying for you. Not that I'm praying for you. And re-prayer. There will be a set time every day, 4 p.m. You guys will pray. They can pray like that for like 1 year for one person. Now, that's why tomorrow you see that person changing and readjusting. The joy that brings to you is that you prayed. I get what I'm saying. Learn the power of intercession. So the church must be taught to pray this kind of prayer. So one, supplication, two, intercession for sinners, for saints. Of course, there should also be prayer of consecration and dedication. Prayer of consecration and dedication. So where you just consecrate yourself to the Lord and dedicate yourself, that should be that kind of prayer. You know, every prayer should not always be to be asking for things. That's a prayer where you just come to God and say, Father, I give myself to you. You know that kind of prayer? Use me for your glory. You're not asking for that. That's why prayer is not always, it's not about making requests. There's a place in prayer where you just kneel down. And if you don't actually know how to pray this prayer, then you're not going to go very far with God. This kind of prayer is very important. Father, use me for your glory. I give myself to you. I yield myself to you. Are you still here? You know, in Luke 22 verse 42, Jesus told God, if it's possible, let this cup pass away, but not my will, but yours be done. That's a prayer of consecration. That's dedicating yourself to the Lord. Not my will, I'm yielding myself to do your will. I've gone to pray sometimes, ministry prayer, and all I'm praying about is, Father, I'm ready. Whatever you want me to do, I'm ready. I give myself to you. That is also prayer. It's a prayer of dedication, prayer of consecration,
where you dedicate yourself, consecrate yourself to the Lord. Number four, prayer of worship. I'll say more about this tomorrow. Prayer of worship. That's where kind of, that's to, every good church should lead our members to pray these kind of prayers. A time of prayer, just come to worship God. Just lift your hands and you're worshiping Him. Thanking Him. It's called ministering to the Lord. You know that's what we did yesterday, right? Just loving on God. There's nothing we're praying about, but just spending time worshiping, loving Him. Sometimes with a song, sometimes without a song. That's also prayer. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, certain prophets and teachers gathered in Jerusalem in Antioch to pray. Bible said, verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So they were fasting, but their prayer point was ministering to the Lord. So fasting is not only used when your results has been seized by the lecturer and they say, we will not release it. That's not the only time you fast. There are times you fast just because you want to spend time with the Lord. Ministering to Him. Praying in tongues. That's why if you are here, you don't pray in tongues. Well, something is missing in your life. Trust God that as you are rounding up this meeting now, the power of God will come upon you, begin to pray in tongues. Because once you're a believer, God's hand is mighty upon you already. And His Spirit is living inside of you. Are you still here? So trust God that you pray in tongues, because it's one of the things we do. Just come to, just worshiping. Thank you, Father. You are loving. Say, what are you praying about? I'm just worshiping. I'm just loving on Him. Because actually, if God is our lover, if we love God the way we say we do, then lovers should have times where they spend time with each other, just loving on each other. I hope you know, right? You've got my marriage class. There are three kinds of intimacy I teach in marriage. Amen? Glory to God. Three kinds. That is the one you people know, sexual intimacy. That one must exist in marriage. There is spiritual intimacy, which is why a couple must always pray together. A couple that does not, and you see this thing I'm going to say now. If a couple is missing us on any of these three, you are giving them a chance to come in. For instance, a couple that are very low on sexual intimacy, something is wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? Except one is sick. I said there is a problem. But then there should be spiritual intimacy. Where both of you spend time praying together. Now it doesn't mean that you don't have a prayer life on your own, but it means that both of you must have a corporate prayer life too. Then there is emotional intimacy where both of you spend time having heart to heart conversation. That's this part I'm talking about. Where people are just talking, the way people are talking in your courtship days, where you guys just cut on the phone and say, you know, I just wish you were here now. And I was just thinking about you. And I'm just looking at the sun. And the moon, rather. It's always at night. I'm looking at the moon. And the moon is reminding me of you. People must have that kind of conversation. Because if it is missing, I'm telling you for true. If that kind of conversation is missing, we can spend that kind of time together. The devil just have his free will in your relationship. I told you guys of a couple that, a lady that wrote to me actually, that she's divorcing. She's done with her marriage. How many has been married? I'm married for 2 to 3 years, but I want to get done with it. Did your husband do anything to you? No. Is he cheating on you? None that I know of. What's the problem? He said, I don't know. I'm not feeling this marriage. I said, sister, you will feel it. Just wait for me. She complains, I'm not feeling it. I said, I've done everything. We don't connect. I said, how many kids do you guys have? She said, we have one. I said, it's okay. There's no problem. So what you're going to do is, is your husband at home? He said, that's even the thing. He's always at home. He works from home. So it's not like all these husbands that used to, you know, leave the house. He's always around. I said, what's the problem? He said, I don't know. We don't connect. I said, there's no problem. You guys will connect. So I said, take your child. Look for any mother-in-law, whatever. Go and give them the child. Both of you should step out with each other. She has money. Say, yes. Take 1 week off. Go to a hotel. Say, she has money. Say, yes. Yeah. Or if you go there, stay there, do nothing, wake up in the morning, look at each other, talk. That period, no social media. Because that's the problem. Because you know the problem? When she first chatted me up, I replied the next day. But it was around to 12 or the afternoon. I said, why did you chat me up by that time? Where was your husband? He said he was in the bed on his own phone. I was on the bed on my own phone. So he said, that's the problem. So she said, I said, go there, put a few. They didn't do 1 week, they did like 3 days or 4 days. Wake up in the morning, just talk, look at each other, just talk, discuss your issues. The first 2 days will be quarrel, I know. You said you don't need to look at my face. You said you don't need to flush toilet when you shit. You said, I know that's how the first 2 days is going to be.
But you know, after the whole thing, the problem is the girl don't even remember to tell me anything. After like 2 months, I chatted up. I said, how is the divorce going? He says, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. It worked. It always works. Always. When you learn to spend that quality time with people, just talking. That's what prayer is. That's what this kind of prayer is. When you're not coming to God to say, I need something. You guys are just talking. Sometimes in that prayer of worship, you even complain. How have you complained yesterday? You just pray and pray, start telling God, but this is not fair. This I'm passing through. It's there. It's okay. It's that quality time. But if you come out from that kind of prayer, it's like everything has changed. You feel that peace. Churches must lead their members to pray. So every prayer is not always pray for a job. Pray for this. There must be prayer of worship. You're just building strong intimacy. I complain in prayer. This kind of prayer. In the process of time. Because as you're worshiping, just remember all the things that God has been doing to you that you don't like. Sometimes you think he's doing to you actually. Say, God. But look at now. After everything, just find that peace. The Bible said that the prayer of the righteous, that the tears of the righteous, God collects his tears in a bottle. You know what that tells you? When you're praying like that, your tears are not going to waste. Give me that verse. He collects his tears. Today was saying, he collects my tears in a bottle. So it's not like you're praying and God is crying and worshiping and God is saying, why, who is this one behaving like a crybaby? No. Amen. Have you found it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you found it? Psalm 56 and verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put down my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Give me NLT. New Living Translation. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book. So yes, God doesn't respond to tears, but there are kind of tears when you're worshiping and then you're talking to God. Again, that's why I normally tell people, don't be so much in a hurry to hurt a righteous man. Because if he goes to God and prays and cries, God will collect his tears in a bottle. He will record those tears. And God help you. May that God help you. I got what I'm saying. Probably I'm Amplified Classic of this. Prayer of worship. You number and record my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Message. Hallelujah. You've kept track of my every toss and turn through sleepless nights. Each tear entered in your ledger. Each ache written in your book. God actually doesn't leave us helpless. I don't know who needs to hear that. And when you are crying or when you are praying, he's not looking at you and be like, who is this weak? Be weak before God. When you are before God, be weak. Be vulnerable. Be there. So in this kind of intimacy time you are spending with him, it's such an awesome time. So that prayer of worship and some quality prayer of intimacy, very important. You minister to the Lord and you're fasting. You're fasting. You know, because they were fasting in that case. So there are fasts where you just make out time to, you know, love on the Lord and minister to him. Amen. You know, when Jesus ascended in Luke chapter 24, Bible said he led them out as far as to Bethany, verse 50, Luke 24, verse 50. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, verse 52. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. 53 is where I'm going to. And we are continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Because somebody is wondering, when we say that the apostles were praying in the temple for 10 days before the day of Pentecost, what were they doing? They were praising and blessing God. So they were just there worshiping him, ministering to him for the entire 10 days. I get to the point. And you saw yesterday, when we did that yesterday, you saw the kind of atmosphere that brought into this meeting. Because whenever you get into that worshiping God, anything can happen. Anything. That's Luke 24, verse 53. They were there worshiping and praising him. Worshiping and praising him. Amen. I said, amen. Are you still here? They were there worshiping and praising him. Okay, so the next kind of prayer is prayer of faith. Prayer of faith.
This is where you are declaring over situations. You are speaking over challenges. In the name of Jesus, we command this to change. That should be that kind of prayer. That's the kind of prayer recorded in Mark 11, 23 and 24, where Jesus said, if you shall say to this mountain. So that kind of prayer, we say, speak over your health. Speak over your finances. Speak over your marriage. Speak over... That kind of prayer must also exist in church. Amen. So when the Bible talks about all manner of prayers, that's what I'm actually trying to show you. So pray your faith. Pray your faith. James talks about it in James chapter 5 and verse 14. He says, if any of you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil. And he said, and pray over him. He said, the prayer of faith. Give it on the screen. James 5:14. He said, if you seek, let him call for the elders of the church. Okay? And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So this kind of prayer that, when someone is sick or someone is struggling, we can pray prayers of faith. You foul devil of sickness, take your hands off. You know this kind of prayer? So that is prayer of faith. And the church must pray that prayer for her people and teach them to also pray that kind of prayer. And I've done a lot of teaching on this. So I won't go into that. But there are times you don't pray prayers of faith. There are times you need to actually get in prayer and make supplications. I guess what I'm saying. It's not even that saying, oh, come on, I command. Sometimes just go and pray and make supplication. Sometimes after supplications and you've gotten your answer in the place of prayer, they cannot switch to prayer of faith. And I begin to speak what you've heard. But then I have some teachings on that, so you can refer to other teachings we did on prayer. Like this prayer clinic now. It will help. Then, of course, the last one, I didn't mention that in the other time, that there should be warfare prayers. The church must teach our members to pray warfare prayers. And teach them to pray it right. Because, like I say the other time, there are extremes you must avoid. You cannot say that it's nothing like warfare prayer. That means you are not in this world. But there are also wrong ways to pray warfare prayers. There are wrong ways to pray warfare prayers. Warfare prayers is not an attack on people. It's not about killing people. Because sometimes when we begin to teach believers to kill people, we are teaching them how to be wicked. Amen. You saw that clip that was making rounds. Now, only though you got to come, come. How many of you saw that? I had to say that openly. Because you saw it. Did you see that? Only though you got to come, come. Okay, I bought on here. If you're not evil, let me tell you what that means. That your enemy will pick containers on the road. That's going to be mad. That he will go mad on the streets. Okay, what on that means he will go naked in the marketplace. And it was a song and they were dancing to it and believing God for it. So start with, if God begins to answer that prayer, some of them in that prayer meeting are their enemies. So the madness will start from that prayer meeting, from inside that place. I don't do that. That's not warfare prayer. Please. That is witchcraft in the name of the Lord. If there's anything like that, what figure of speech is this now? What figure of speech? Is it oxymoron? Huh? Where we say dark light. Oxymoron means witchcraft in the name of the Lord. Nothing like that. So, Jesus is life. And you want to kill someone in the name of life. I kill you in the name of life. I bring life to kill you. How can life kill? Please stop that. Now, are there people that can rise against what God is doing and die? Yes. Because Jesus said to Paul, he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. There are things you do, you hurt yourself. It shouldn't be you getting involved in the way, trying to shout, oh, die, somersault. There's no need. That is proper warfare prayer. It's not about being a witch. Don't come out in the night. Somebody said, if any guy breaks my heart, I will go naked by 12 midnight. Or after you wear your clothes. Because somebody is deceiving you. What do you think your nakedness? How special is your nakedness? Actually, I asked somebody my first year. Tell you was complaining. He said, sir, please pray for me. I want to come beg this girl. I said, well, say she that she will go naked for me by 12 midnight. That was my first time of hearing that. I said, hey, I don't understand. She's going naked for you. He said that she woke up by 12 minutes and come outside and go naked and cry to God for me. I said, you're not serious. I said, I'm first year. They're already going naked for you in first year. That's why you must learn to be focused. That's story for another day. Be focused. Don't be doing relationship too early. So they will not go naked for you in your first year. It's like I'm being infested. No, you can't go naked for me. I don't even have a girlfriend. I just day my life. But again, that's not warfare prayer. Because that is not different from what they're doing in African traditional religion. Let me tell you. Any pastor that teaches our people to always pray this kind of prayer, people are dying. You might don't know what you're doing to your people, but you're making your people very revengeful. You're making people to become very revengeful. You are teaching them that if anybody does anything to them, they should pay the person back. If they cannot pay the person back, they should call God to do it. And that's not what we learn in Christ. You get the point? Did I teach on this fool? People say, but the Bible said you should do good to your enemies. You are heaping coals of fire on their head. Do good to them. Did I interpret that coals of fire to you? Coals of fire is not a bad thing. Sorry for another day. There's nothing bad about coals of fire on their head. Do good to people. Bible said, pray for your enemies. He didn't say pray against your enemies. He said pray for your enemies. So, but that is warfare in prayer. That is warfare because Satan rises against the church. Now, and sometimes he can rise as men. We pray against those satanic influence taking over their spirits, taking over their mind. Now, if someone stands on the way of that and does not want to move, shift grounds, whatever that is coming for him, he will see it. I guess what I'm talking about. Because that's why you don't stand in the way of God, actually. Give me that Acts chapter 9. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I love the word of God. Glory, glory, glory. Let me see if I can get that. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5. Let's read together. Give me Amplify Classic of that verse. Let's do it together. He fell to the ground there, huh? Verse 5. And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is dangerous, and it will turn out badly for you to keep kicking against the goal. That's to offer vain and perilous resistance. So it will be hard for you. So it's not you that can start saying every demon. Just rise against satanic influence. Anybody that keeps offering vain and perilous resistance, it will be hard for the person. Now the person will deal with whatever is coming with him, for him. You see, get what I'm saying? So I don't focus on faith people. Paul told us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So you don't focus on flesh and blood in your prayer. We wrestle against principalities and powers. I get what I'm saying? Now, if you now decide to become a principality or a power, that whatever you see, you face. We must pray. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Paul, I showed us 2 days ago. Paul said, I wanted to come to you. He said, but Satan hindered me. And I was showing you yesterday, when Satan hindered me, he was talking about how the fact that they arrested him in those places. But he described those arrests as an activity of hell. Because Satan can steer people against you. Romans 15:30-31, pray that I be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. For all men have not the faith. So there are wicked men. There are men that work with the devil. We must learn to pray. That's why you can't be too new creation as a church family and people are going through hell. Satan is harassing people and you're just saying, oh, well, let's just watch. No. When you harass my member, I will harass you back. That's how I was taught. If you harass my people, I will harass you back. If the devil stands around my people, I will stand in its way. That's what is called warfare prayer.
You get the point? I know that a particular demon is harassing someone. I'm going to stand in the way. I'm not always very logical. Because sometimes things in life are not that logical. I've met some terrible cases. And you just know that an enemy has done this. And when I see that an enemy has done this, I'm going to stand and show you that there is power in the name of Jesus. So that's why you don't notice a particular pattern in your child's life. And then you say, oh, well, there's nothing there. If your child is sick, seek medical attention. If you keep doing that and things keep going that repeated way, that is where warfare comes. That is God. That is the name we call God. We call him the Lord of hosts because he fights. Do you remember that? He goes to battle. So where does it happen? Stand up and engage the Lord of hosts. You foul devil. Come on. In Apuala, I have come against the name of Jesus. You can be that brutal. You can be that brutal in prayer. When you see me pray off a prayer, I don't smile. You get the point? Because I've prayed off a prayer. Sometimes you come to a family and things are just going wrong. And people say, no, we're new Christians in Christ. I don't go by what I see. I go by what I know in my spirit. But what you see is showing that you're about to die. Go by what you see and deal with that devil. What you know in your spirit should be that you have the authority in Jesus. And authority not exercised is like authority not present. If you have authority, if you have gun, it means you can kill any robber that comes your way. But until you pull the trigger, the robber will not die. So Satan is there, you have authority. Until you use that authority, nothing is going to change. I get what I'm saying now. So you must pull the trigger. You must use that authority. You must use that authority. You stand strong and you stand firm. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So you don't kick against the pricks. You stay strong. You pray warfare prayer. When they're coming against you, don't say, you can just continue what you're doing. I will not disturb you. No, the devil is not that smart. He's not that calm. You stay strong. I'll show you one last scripture today. And then we close. One of the agenda that we have in this church is that we must train you to be a prayer person. And we do that with many things. We do that by giving you prayer regimen. We do that by setting up a lot of things. You know, there is no time anybody is in this church. And there is no prayer demand on you at any moment. Except you're not following it. If there is none, you'll be praying by 6 a.m. and by 9 p.m. There are some people that are in this church that are on like 3-4 prayer regimens every day. You have to pray your daily prayer. You have to join prayer watch. You have to pray. If you're praying for a relationship, you have to pray that one. All of them are just piling up, but you have to pray them. Because my assignment is to make you a prayer person. Because this house should be called the house of prayer. This includes both you as the house of God now, and then this house as the house of God. You should be a man of prayer. I get what I'm saying. And there are instructions in the Bible to pray without ceasing. So we must keep to it. We must build a prayer culture. Isaiah 62. Let me close with this. I want it on the screen so that we can just look at that together. Isaiah 62. I will read from verse. We will flow from verse 1. Kane koshataya kambrotoliata sukepandi karapondia kalatepon kishiata. Thank you, Father. Isaiah 62 from verse 1. For Zion's sake. Oh, hallelujah. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. And from Jerusalem's sake will I not rest. Who is talking? This is not God. This is Isaiah talking. Because I want to be able to have people here who can make some kind of prayer commitments like Isaiah is doing. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake will I not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Verse 2. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Verse 3. Quickly. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah,
and thy land Beulah, and the Lord delighted in thee, and thy land shall be married. Now see verse 5. He said, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. This is a man speaking over Jerusalem. He said, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Verse 6. I have set, now this is Isaiah talking. And this verse is what I actually wanted to see. Because it's one of the things that God will have me do, have every pastor do. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. We shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Verse 7. And give him no rest. Go to that verse 5. Give me NLT. Verse 6 rather. He said, O Jerusalem, I've posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Verse 6. O Jerusalem. Verse 7 now. He says, give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. Imagine there are members who are like this in the church. Isaiah said, I've set watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. That's why it's the duty of a church and a pastor to set watchmen over the church, and more so to train all members of the church, at least mature members, to become watchmen over the church. Who will see, for instance, look at this, give the Lord no rest until he completes his work. So when God makes a promise for the church, that a man should be able to hold on to that promise and not stop until something happens. So God expects that we raise prayer people. In verse 8, it said, the Lord has won Jerusalem by his own strength. I will never again hand you over to your enemies. Never again will foreign warriors come and take away your grain and new wine. You raise the grain and you will eat it, praising the Lord. Within the courtyards of the temple, you yourself will drink the wine you have pressed. In other words, things are going to get better for Jerusalem. But how would that happen? Isaiah said, he first started talking about himself in verse 1. He said, because I love Zion, NLT, because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. There are people that should be able to say this over the church. Because I love this church, I will not keep quiet. Because I love this ministry, because Jerusalem was a type of the church, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a torch. But from verse 2, he began to say what will happen when he prays for Jerusalem, how the nations will see their righteousness, what leaders will be blinded by your glory. You will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. Isaiah is saying, I will pray for you until this begins to happen. That's a prayer commitment going on right there in Isaiah 62. I get what I'm saying. I will pray. Imagine somebody saying, hello guys, I'm going to keep praying for you until the nations will see your righteousness, until world leaders will be blinded by your glory, until you'll be given a new name by the Lord. He said, the Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see, a splendid crown. Verse 4, never again will he be called for sickness. He's trying to say, I will pray until this happens. You know what he was talking about here? He was talking about the coming of the New Testament, the new creation. So in other words, I'll keep praying until I see this happen. Of course, Isaiah didn't see that happen in his lifetime, but he kept praying at least until he died. But there was a man, for instance, in the Bible called Simeon, who kept praying in the temple until he saw the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Simeon was in the temple and kept praying every day. Because the Lord told him, you will not die until you see the salvation of Israel. So he kept praying. It was when he now saw Jesus and carried Jesus, he said, ah, now your servant can go to rest. Do you know what this is telling you? Even the coming of Jesus, that prophecy about the coming of Jesus, there were men that watched over that prophecy in prayer for it to happen. I get what I'm saying. Even the coming of Jesus as prophets, there were men. There was Simeon. There was Anna. You are seeing Isaiah saying the same thing. He said that in verse 5, he was telling Jerusalem what is going to happen. Verse 5, as he keeps praying for them, he said, your children will commit themselves to you, Jerusalem. Just as a young man commits himself to his bride, then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. Verse 6, he now said, I have, O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. So Isaiah from verse 1 to 5 said, I'm going to pray. Verse 6, he now said, I will post watchmen. No, I have posted watchmen. That's why church leaders, this is one of your assignments. Make sure you build and raise people that can pray. That as Isaiah, you can look at Jerusalem and says, I've posted watchmen on your wall. They will pray day and night continually. He now told to the watchmen and said, take no rest. So any pastor that is not able to raise watchmen who can watch day and night might be failing in his ministry. So if you're a pastor and not raising prayer people, look at your assignment again. I've posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. And I told them, take no rest. In verse 7, he gave them an instruction. He might say, you don't agree with what he said, but if you look at the instruction, he told them to give the Lord no rest. He may say, no, can we trouble God? But as I said, give him no rest. And I'm going to tell you, give God no rest. Yeah. Now, of course, we know that prayer is not troubling God. We're speaking from the point of the understanding. We're not actually disturbing God. But I like that mindset. Keep God. In other words, if there is a situation around your life, do not stop. Don't take your foot off the gas. Keep praying. Keep praying. If there's a promise God made to the church, you've not seen it. As a watchman, keep praying day and night until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. Imagine someone says, I will not stop praying for this church until this church becomes all that God said it's going to be. I will pray day and night until the influence of God through this church spreads through this entire city. Imagine someone does that. Isaiah set up watchmen who were over Jerusalem, and we know they watched until they died. But there were men that continued in that order. I already showed you Simeon. Simeon stayed in the temple every time praying. Anna married for 7 years. Her husband died after 7 years. And she said she was not going to remarry again. I went to the temple. She stayed there fasting and waiting for the salvation of the Lord. She stayed there from that time her husband died. She was 80-something years. And Jesus was born. Imagine that kind of labor in prayer. Give the Lord no rest. In other words, don't stop praying. That's what the church exists for. We'll teach you that. So when you hear me say that I'm trying to set up a 24 hours prayer watch, it's just to test run something. That's actually where we're going to. I want us to have a system later. Just that we don't have our own facilitator and all of that. But we'll do it the way we can. Where once you come in, people are praying. But if you are in your house and you have really, your prayer life is just prayer fire is down, you can come into that place and meet some people praying. Imagine that kind of system. You know, every time I enter this hall, I'm going to be praying. It's going to fire me up and I will pray. That way, we'll see that everything God has said to us will come to pass. Glory to God. This house is meant to be a house of prayer. Put up, go to verse 6. Let's see other translations of that verse. Because I'm closing already. I've set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day or night. You are who are his servants, and by your prayer, put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. He said, keep not silent. Keep not silence, okay? Next verse, verse 7. And give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem. Give him no rest. See, go back. Message Bible. I've posted watchmen on your walls. Day and night they keep at it, praying, calling out, reminding God to remember. They are to give him no peace until he does what he said, until he makes Jerusalem the famous as the city of praise. Not somebody can pray that over this church. Someone can take up that assignment over. You know, there are people that God, with people like Daniel Nash, took that over as an assignment over Charles Finney's ministry. He prayed till he died. That was not that assignment he had. Every time Charles Finney was going to go do a crusade in a city, Daniel Nash will arrive with his team 3 weeks or so before that time. They will be there praying. First thing they will do, they will try to gather the names of all unsaved people they can gather in that environment. Write all of them in a book and stone that book till that crusade is over. They said by the time he died, they looked at the book, his prayer book. No single name there was unsaved. Not one. That is, give the Lord no rest. Now, he wasn't doing that for his ministry. He wasn't even preaching. He wasn't even out there doing whatever. He was just inside there. Just pray. So, one can take that up as an answer. Because there is prayer at the level of ministry. There's prayer at the level of meeting your needs. There's prayer at the level of ministry. Prayer at the level of ministry is where I'm now using prayer to serve the Lord and to serve the saints. So at that point, it's no longer, Lord, give me a car. It is now, Father, until you make Jerusalem the praise of the earth. I will not stop. So we must have a church that has a prayer culture. That's what we're trying to do. And I pray, I wish, and I'm trusting that you will catch it this evening. That you decide to become a prayer person. Make that vow. Make that vow. I will stay here. I will stay here. I won't take my foot off the gas. There are many examples. There are many examples. You read about the Moravians, for instance, in history. These guys started a 100-year prayer meeting daily. If you have time, go and bring browse about people. A man like Count Zinzendorf. That man led that move. 100 years unbroken prayer. Till he died, that prayer kept going on for 100 years daily, non-stop. The revival, many revivals you heard about the earth came from that particular stuff. I've told about David Yonggicho. He has a prayer mountain in Korea. He established a prayer mountain. In fact, it got to a time they said not only prayer was prayer going on there, even till now it still exists. People can go there to pray. You can just go there to pray. Said every year, at least 1 million people visit that prayer mountain to pray. Every year. Every time you go there, prayer is going on there. I know about the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. It was established on September 19th, 1999. You know, they started a prayer and worship meeting that has continued 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, ever since. Till now, it's still going on. It's still going on. There has never been a time that prayer and worship was not ascended to heaven since that day. There's a lot more happening around the world. As believers and seeking to establish local communities of 24/7 worship and prayer meetings. Believers are working out to do that. Many churches are trying to do it, and this is actually the plan of God. While we might not be able to meet in church all the time, at least for now, we have technologies we can employ. So when you hear me say things like we pray by 6, we pray by 9, all those kind of things, just a way of trying to show us that we must have a culture where prayer is always going on. In the Old Testament, they were told that the fire should never go out on the altar. So, look at what the priests do. Every morning they wake up, you go to the altar, you remove the wood, remove the ash, put new wood, set new fire. Fire always burns on that altar 24 hours. That's a picture of the kind of thing God wants us to do with prayer in His house. In His house. So, I want to make up your mind, beyond everything I'm saying, that I will be that man, that watchman that God has set over His city. That will not give the Lord rest. In other words, somebody just looks at Brother John and decides in his heart, I will give the Lord no rest until He establishes His plan over this young man. And every day, for 12 years, he's on praying for the guy. I'll give the Lord no rest. That's ministry of prayer. I agree what I'm saying. That's ministry of prayer. If a church has 3 of such people, that church will be mighty upon the earth. I'm not joking. There is no limit to what God can do with that church. If a pastor has 3 people who are backing him up every time in prayer, every moment, every season, every time in prayer, forget. You can't. You are the one that will be complaining, who has God taking him far? There are people who are behind holding his hands in prayer. So that's why every church must train her people to become men and women who love to pray, who don't just love to pray, who commit themselves to prayer, who pray at the level of responsibility, no longer at the level of burdens. You know what I said? Some still pray at the level of burdens. What that means is, you know, as I was sleeping, a prayer burden came on me. That can happen to us. That should happen to you. But people who begin to pray, not because they feel like praying, but because they know it's not their responsibility to pray. That's what was in my office yesterday telling me, sir, problem I have now is that these days I don't feel like praying. I said, that is a good thing. That time you don't feel like praying, start praying then. If you can pray without a feeling, it means you've started learning how to pray at the level of responsibility. It's no longer about how I feel. It's now the need of the hour. Give yourself to prayer. I'm charging you the way I say I charge these guys. Do not give the Lord rest. Do not stop. Do not stop. This house must be called a house of prayer. Amen. I said amen. Are you blessed? Stand to your feet. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Let's just take 5 minutes and pray. You know,
This is why I say to you, and I just said this, just always say to you, when I ask you to pray, start praying. Do not wait for anybody to charge you up. Learn how to be prayer ready at every time. Every time. Every time. I mean that if I ask you to pray now, you can pray for 3 hours non-stop. Just start praying. Learn how to be prayer ready. Prepare yourself. So once you start praying, start praying. And pray with everything in you until it becomes a culture. Until it becomes responsibility to you. Until you become one of those people that God can trust. Be the person, as I said, to watchmen, be the person that your pastor can say as a watchman. Because you do that here a lot. That if I look at you and say, pray over this issue, don't take your foot off the gas for the next 4 years. Be the person that I can trust that for those 4 years, you'll be doing it. Because if this is not a house of prayer, it will soon become a den of thieves. I get what I'm saying. It's not even belong. Many corruption that goes on in church, I can tell you, they are not praying. They are not praying. They are not praying. Lift your voice. Pray in the Holy Ghost all about this place. Pray. Ila dida beka sosopenga rabataya. I want us to use 5 minutes to pray. So please pray. If you are here and you don't pray in tongues, just hold your nipple sand by your side. And the power of God is going to search through that person into your being. And you begin to pray in tongues. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Shabaraga de gala sondra de jembre de la kaya. Oh, come on, church. Come on. Yanda la barrega de la goja de la payanda. Please pray, 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 pray. Church. Yes, keep playing that. Pray. Shaka dele baraka dele basombra dela. Karandele koraba shata la barata ya. Endala babara babala babara babele 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 shaka tada baya. I wish you're praying. Your greatest testimony, one of them from this meeting, will be that you made a commitment to prayer. That you made a commitment to prayer. Be
that man that God can trust to pray. Be that man that God can trust to pray. I wish you're praying. Please pray. If you don't pray in tongues, the power of God is upon you. You can begin to pray already because the Holy Ghost has laid his hands upon you already. Shandala barake dulugu sabala da baya da baraba da laba kendele berandele bo shika da la barata ya andele bo shine mele da baraba dele brandele bo shakata ya akila baraba di susebeka la barata ya alanda ya da
here we are. And lifting our hands to you, and here we are.
Just pray wherever you are,
and giving you thanks for all you do, and as we pray. And worship your holy name. And you are here, dwelling within our prayer. Oh, here we are. In our hands to you, and here we are giving you thanks for all you do, and as we and worship your holy name. And you are here, and dwelling within our prayer. For every answer prayer, always be there. For Lord, Thou hears us when we call. For arms Thou lift us when we fall. You have always been right beside us. Of you, Jesus. The reason we made it through is because you held our hands. The reason we came through is because you are there for us. The reason you didn't let us, we didn't fall, is because you are there for us. You led us through the fire. to let us through everything. Oh, Bateshika Labarataya. The confidence we have to pray is because you will always answer. We made it through because of you. And worship your holy name. One more minute, please don't stop. Just one more minute. Just one more minute. Hallelujah. Let me say this in Jesus' name. As you go back, spend your time in prayer alone. Not just about today. Have a prayer routine. Have a prayer time. Have prayer companies. Have prayer friends. Have a group of friends you pray with from time to time. Some of you that are still in school, in some of these schools, they have prayer, you know, places where people go to pray. Use them. Go there. Spend your time and pray. The investments you're making in your prayer life will show in years to come. It will show. To a large extent, I believe that God will only trust the man that prays to speak for him. God always trusts the man that prays to speak for him. You cannot actually believe that God will send you around to stand before men if you cannot kneel before him. It's the man that can kneel before God that can stand tall before men. So you want God to use you mightily, let it start from your prayer life. It is the man that can kneel before God that can stand before men. I say it again, it is the man that can kneel before God that can stand before men. So begin to make prayer investments. Some of you may need to, some of you, God has put it in your heart, take up this ministry and stand as Isaiah 62 tells us and give the Lord no rest until all that has been said becomes a reality. A church that has praying men has a future. A church that has praying men has a future. Because the future of a ministry is not decided in the meeting room. It's decided in the prayer room. The future of a ministry is not decided in the meeting room or in the boardroom. It is decided in the prayer room. When there are men who can go to the prayer room, they are the men that will define the future of a ministry. And not just about men that sit in the meeting room. That's why it is necessary that men that sit in the meeting room must also be men that go to the prayer room. Because if you only sit in the meeting room and you don't go to the prayer room, there will be no results. It's not the things we write on paper that determines where we go. It is the things we pray in prayer. It is prayer that gives us direction and not meetings. That's why if you must be in the meeting, you must be in the prayer. That's why it's good for the board of the church to be praying men. Leadership of the church to be praying men. Pastoral team praying men. But it is prayer that gives a ministry direction. See, a ministry that has praying leaders has a future. So some of us must take our stand. You know what Habakkuk said? Remember Habakkuk chapter 2? Give me Habakkuk 2 verse 1. Let me just close with that. Habakkuk 2 and verse 1. Glabaratune palandia. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. It was in verse 2 that God now said to him, the Lord answered me, write the vision. So it is men that can stand upon their watch that the Lord can actually show a vision to write. We want to see much about where you are going to. We want to see what the future looks like. We obey Habakkuk 2 verse 1. I will stand upon my watch. Before the Lord can say to you in verse 2, write the vision, make it plain, you have to stand upon your watch. I get what I'm talking about. Stand upon your watch. So I need men and women here who decide to stand upon their watch in prayer and hear what the Lord will say to them. There are many things that God wants to do through you and your future. Write the vision. Many of them, you will never see it until you stand in place of prayer. There are many things God wants to do with you, even in this church. You will never see it. Before the Lord shows you the vision to write, you must stand upon your watch.
will stand upon your watch. Before the Lord shows you the vision to write, you must stand upon your watch. Before he shows you where he's taking you to tomorrow, you must stand upon your watch. Before you see your future in prayer, in life, stand upon your watch. That's why we always teach you cannot make decisions in this church without praying. Because it's not in the meeting room that the future of your ministry is decided. It's in the prayer room. That's why if you must be in the meeting room of a ministry, make sure you're also in the prayer room of that ministry. Because you don't see visions in the meeting room. You see visions in the prayer room. It's all fully I'm talking about here now. Give yourself to prayer. I will stand upon my watch. I need men and women that can stand upon their watch. Over their life, over people, over their family. Over this ministry. So I will stand upon my watch to hear what God will say. I practice this a lot actually. Sometimes when there is a situation, people come to my room and tell me things. After they finish talking, I say, well, you go. Let me go and see what God will say to me. You know what? You know how Amplify Classic put that verse 1? Because Habakkuk has been talking in verse 1, in chapter 1. But, you know, in chapter 2, he now said, oh, I know I've been rash to talk out plainly this way to God. I will in my thinking stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower of fortress, and I'll watch to see what he will say within me and what answer will I make. Because he has been talking plainly in chapter 1. He said, I've been talking rashly, now I'm just going to go and stand to watch what he will say to me. Most times we say too much. We are taking over. We are running places. We are going from where to where. What did God tell you that? Before you start talking like that, stand upon your watch. It's not excitement. It's not the things you start of excitement that will work. I get the point. Message said, what's God going to say to my questions? I'm braced for the worst. I will climb to the lookout tower and scan the whole horizon. I will wait to see what God says. I will answer my complaints. Then God said, write this, write what you see. You must mount that watch and watch to see what God will say. So it's not the things you say in your mind that will work. It's not, I will build 10 schools. We will spread. We will plant 30 churches. Stand upon your watch. It's not what you say in your meeting room that will work. It's the things that you took to your prayer room that will work. That's why meetings must be preceded and succeeded by prayer. That's how Jesus comes. I don't know why God is bringing this admonition finally. The answer, the way God is taking you to, is not on the map, it's in the place of prayer. You get the point? The next phase for your ministry is not in the meeting, it's in prayer. The next phase for this church is not actually in our meetings, it's actually in the place of prayer. It is in the place of prayer that we can bet it, then we'll sit around in the meetings to now organize it with the wisdom of God. I get what I'm talking about. The next phase is in the place of prayer. The next phase is in the place of prayer. The next place you are going to is in the place of prayer. The next phase for your center is the place of prayer. It is not in just holding meetings. That's why we must never have the habit of sitting to discuss what we should pray about. You don't plan over things you should pray about. Did you hear what I said? We don't sit and plan over things we should pray about. Sometimes it is because we are sitting down to plan over those and we're praying about it. That's why they're not happening. Go to prayer. There's a place for planning. But then the things we plan about, we must have prayed them out in the spirit. Then we'll sit around to plan about them. So your next place you're going to in your life is in the place of prayer. The next step. The next direction. The next phase for your calling. The next phase for your business. The next phase for your life. Whether it is marriage you want, the next phase is in prayer. Whether you want to relocate, the answer to that is in prayer. Whether you want to build new branches, the answer to that is in prayer. Do not just plan and discuss with men what you've not discussed with God. Stand on your tower and watch. That's where you can see the vision and see where he's taking you to. I want to believe in God's admonition. But that's actually a word for someone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why are you blessed today? Glory to God.